following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the R&R Podcast Network.
Behold the face of fear, the mind of madness. Behold the horror that may soon be champion.
I am afraid of what I might do, but I no longer have control of my mind.
Pray that this man can stop the insanity. Pray for him. If he doesn't,
have a nice day.
Welcome to RTW Rewind. Red Rob will take you on a journey through time to relive some of the greatest moments, matches, and personalities from the sport of professional wrestling. Now, here's your host of the show, Red Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Rewind. I am your host, Red Rob, Rob Francois. I hope everybody is doing well all around the world. Welcome to the show. On this episode, we will be doing a watch-along of the WWF Championship match between Shawn Michaels and Mankind from In Your House Mind Games from September 22nd, 1996. If you want to queue it up on your WWE network, the timestamp I am at is 1 hour, 15 minutes, and 57 seconds. 1:15:57. While you get that ready, I'll give you a little bit of backstory about why I love this match so much. It's one of my favorite matches of all time. It's especially one of my favorite Shawn Michaels matches, which, if you're guessing by the theme of this show, a lot of it's got to do with my favorite wrestler of all time, Shawn Michaels, obviously. This match was a very long match, 30-40 minutes, somewhere around there. So buckle in, settle in, get some snacks. We're going to be here for a while. But you're really going to enjoy this match. It was, well, it was hardcore before there was really hardcore in the WWF. ECW was in its infancy at that point, and they were doing their hardcore style. And this kind of was, ECW was a catalyst for the Attitude Era. But it was also, this match also kind of sparked off a harder style. Like it was very, very hard hitting. Lots of shenanigans going on. As we know, Mankind, Mick Foley, as tough as nails. Shawn had a really great 1996. Mankind wasn't the only tough opponent he had faced. He'd also faced Big Van Vader at SummerSlam 96. In a pretty hard-hitting match. We know how tough Vader was. Well, Mick Foley was double tough. In fact, if you really want to go back to WCW, when Mick Foley, as Cactus Jack, had his matches with Vader, they literally beat the piss out of each other. Eventually, I will do, I think it was on WCW Saturday Night, a match between Vader and Mick Foley, and it was one of the most barbaric television matches that I've seen, where they literally beat the living hell out of each other. But Shawn Michaels had his work cut out for him, but he was so good, he could adapt to anybody's style. And this match is a very good example of how great Shawn Michaels was in the ring and how he was able to adapt to Mick Foley's style and just take it to him. So I'm going to play the opening promos from Mick Foley and from Shawn Michaels. And when we come back, we'll fire up the match and get ready to watch it.
Where are you? I'm in the bowels of the Core State Spectrum right now with Paul Bearer and Mankind. Paul Bearer, you have already led one man to the World Wrestling Federation Championship. Will you make Mankind the next champion tonight?
Oh, you hit the nail right on the head! Right here tonight, my Mankind will be the new World Wrestling Federation Champion! And you know what's so funny about it? The creatures of the night! It was your fault that I did what I did to The Undertaker! And Shawn Michaels, you're quick! It's your fault that Mankind is going to beat Shawn Michaels right here tonight! Oh, yes!
Mankind, what do you have in store for Shawn Michaels?
misery, and destiny. You see, I live to make Shawn Michaels miserable. I live to make his clique feel the pain that I've known my whole life. You see, Uncle Paul has told me that it's my destiny to hear Shawn Michaels gurgle screams. It's my destiny to hear his liver rupture. It's my destiny to hold my hand aloft, Uncle Paul, and cuddle that heavyweight title. It's destiny. And after that, we'll all have a nice day.
I'm right here with Shawn Michaels, the World Wrestling Federation champion. We are moments away from the match where you face Mankind. Mankind spoke earlier, saying that Paul Bearer is leading him to his destiny. But Shawn, everybody in the clique knows that this is your destiny, the World Wrestling Federation title.
You know, not since I won the World Wrestling Federation title have I gone out and defended this belt and been really, really nervous, you know? And the reason for that is because I feel like I can out-wrestle anybody in the World Wrestling Federation. But let's face it, I am wrestling the wackiest cat that the World Wrestling Federation has ever, ever seen. If I could go out there and wrestle him, I'd have all the confidence in the world. But you never know where this guy's coming from. So I got to tell you, I'm a little bit jittery. I'm a little bit nervous. But one way or another, the Heartbreak Kid's going to do what he always does, and that's find a way to get the job done.
Mankind is obviously one of the most unorthodox superstars in the World Wrestling Federation history. You found out a little earlier today on Superstars. Could Mankind and Paul Bearer be planning some kind of plot? We've seen Paul Bearer use that casket before, many times with The Undertaker. Now that he's on Mankind's side, this could spell more trouble for you.
You know, it's really a politically correct statement. Unorthodox. That's very nice. You know, this guy is whacked as the day is long. And yeah, they got caskets. They're playing mind games with me. And believe me, if there was a mind up here that you could play with, you'd be getting the job done. But unfortunately, there's not a whole lot upstairs when it comes to Shawn Michaels. And thank goodness, because otherwise, I'd really, really be in trouble. And I'm already nervous enough as it is. Mankind, Paul Bearer, one way. I really don't know how. Up to this point, I'm about to walk up to the ring, and I've got no idea how it is I'm going to deal with you two. I guess I'll just think on the job, I suppose.
All right. Thank you very much, World Wrestling Federation champion Shawn Michaels.
RTW Rewind.
All right. Once again, fire up your WWE Network. We are at 1:15:57. If you guys are ready, I will count it down. 3, 2, 1, play. When I say play, that's when we will all hit the play button and watch this match from In Your House Mind Game, September 22nd, 1996, for the WWF Championship. The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, defending his WWF title against the deranged Mankind with Paul Bearer in his corner. Let's do it. 1:15:57. Let's count it down. We will start it in 3, 2, 1, play. Vince McMahon and Mr. Perfect on commentary. I miss those guys. They were a pretty good team. I mean, obviously, Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, is no longer with us. Vince McMahon is. But Vince hasn't done commentary in quite a long time. But I thought they worked really well together. Perfect had been out injured. He had come back, kind of got into a commentary role similar to what they did to Macho Man when they didn't think Macho Man had anything left to give in the ring. As we saw later on, Mr. Perfect went to WCW shortly after this. I want to say it was 97 or 98, but don't quote me on those dates. But I thought Mr. Perfect was a pretty good commentator, and he still had a lot to give in the ring when he left and went to WCW. But Paul Bearer had recently joined Mankind, had turned on The Undertaker earlier in 96. Jim Ross is also on commentary. I forgot there was a three-man booth. Vince McMahon, Jim Ross, and Mr. Perfect. Was it really necessary to have three people? Oh, there you see Mick Foley, Mankind, playing mind games already, just like the title of the pay-per-view, coming out of the casket. Man, I miss these days. I really do. Oh, almost tripped over the pyro. Set up for Sean there. I don't know why they didn't slide it into the ring when Sean was coming down, but what I loved about the presentation of Mick Foley as Mankind, which is kind of a rib, you know, Vince put him in like shit brown, you know, tights and outfit and all that, but he got it over. I love that he had a separate entrance and exit theme. That was very, very well done. We know how great Mick Foley is. Like, for him to be able to adapt to this new character from Cactus Jack, it's pretty incredible. Crowd goes wild as the introduction of the World Wrestling Federation champion, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, with Jose Lothario in his corner. Jose had wrestled, well, if you want to call it wrestled, Jose had a match earlier in the night against Jim Cornette. You can pretty much tell how that went. Michaels is really over as a babyface here, but for whatever reason, he always gets blamed for having poor ratings. Even though he was putting on the best matches of his career at this point. I mean, 96, 97 were ridiculously good years for Shawn Michaels. Pyro went off a little bit early there. Look how focused Shawn is. I always thought his outfits were a little questionable, though. It's funny how his hairstyles kind of changed over the years. He had the 80s mullet, and then you had the early 90s mullet, which got even worse, like was a true, true mullet. Business in the front, party in the back. but when he turned babyface, he had his hair mostly slicked back, but he had these like two long like bangs that hung over his head. That was kind of his new look when he was a babyface. Crowd loved him, though. He was totally over. Sean does look nervous. And I don't know if that was actual, legit, you know, butterflies or nervousness, but he looks worried. If he was selling, good on him. But Jose Lothario with a Shawn Michaels jacket, it's a little bit weird. Bella's wrong. Let's go. We are underway. This is about a 32, 35 minute match, somewhere around there. You're about to see the brilliance of both athletes. Starting off right away, hot and heavy. Taking it to Sean early. Nice back body drop. You know, Mankind was a little bit, you know, bigger. Not as big as he was later in his career. Oh, man, that double. I love that clothesline over the top when he would just follow through. Nobody did that like Mankind. But, you know, Mick Foley was a bigger guy, but he never questioned his cardio. I mean, like, to go with a guy like Shawn Michaels who could go all night long and to take it to him and not wrestle Mankind's kind of pace. Oh, that was a pretty cool spot. I'd never seen that before. Sean knew he could beat the crap out of Mick Foley and do things that he probably couldn't do against anybody else, and he definitely took advantage of it this match. But, you know, for Mick to just go right at it with Sean with that high, fast, that fast-paced style, ooh, nice crossbody. Just tells you how great of shape Mick Foley was in at this point. And then he wasn't afraid to go toe-to-toe with Shawn Michaels and wrestle Shawn's fast-paced style. And Shawn wasn't afraid to just throw caution to the wind. Oh, God, that was a sick bump. That had to hurt. You know, it's just amazing how they adapted to each other's styles. Somebody had a Razor and Diesel sign there. At this point, they were in WCW as the Outsiders. Something about fearing them or something. Nice double axe handle off the top from Sean. Sean knew he had to wrestle a different style here. He knew he had to take it right to Mick Foley. Ooh, nice. I love Sean's jabs. He's an underrated striker. There's a lot of glitter in the ring. I'm wondering if that came from Goldust. Is he going for the top rope elbow drop early? I don't think this is going to work out well for Sean here. No, he nailed it. I guess that's it. He thinks he can put him away early. He's going for that's the precursor for the sweet chin music. He's about to fire up the band. Oh, Mick's like, nope, I'm out of here. I love it. He left the ring and he just sits there and rocks and he wants to earn. By the way, I have the pleasure of meeting all three of these people in real life. I met Mick Foley after one of his one-man comedy shows. That's a great angle right there. That's a GoPro before GoPros were a thing. Mick Foley did a comedy show at Zany's in Nashville, Nashville Comedy Club. I was able to meet him afterwards. He's a very, very nice guy. It's funny how, like, he's very shy after the show. Like, when the lights are on and he's on stage and that switch is on, Mick Foley talks like crazy. But it's funny when you get him off the stage and, like, the switch is kind of flipped off. Very quiet, very reserved, and very shy. It's just, it's amazing how introverted a lot of wrestlers are. Undertaker was the same way. But, you know, when they're performing, they're on. But it's just funny to see them in a one-on-one scenario and how different they act, how differently they act. Shawn Michaels, as I mentioned, was a jerk to me when I met him this summer in 96 after he won the WWF title from Bret Hart. So that was unfortunate. It's the only time I got to meet him. Hopefully I'll get to meet him at some other point. Ooh, that was a different move there. And as I met Paul Bearer twice. Funny stories about Paul Bearer. The first time I met him was when I was working as an assistant manager at Kentucky Fried Chicken in Windsor Locks, Connecticut, down the street from BDL Airport. And Paul had come in. We closed at 10, and it was about 9:45 or so, and I guess he had just gotten in. I believe they were doing a house show in Hartford. This was a Friday night, and we were just about to close up, but he had ordered I don't remember what he ordered. I don't know if it was a bucket of chicken or he ordered something. I wish I remember what it was, but I kind of recognized the voice in the speaker when I took the order. I'm like, man, that guy sounds familiar. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, yes, give me some fried chicken. I love wedges and potatoes. Oh, yes. But his voice was similar. And I'm like, hey, I said to one of my employees, Mark, I said, I think that's Paul Bearer from WWF ordering. He's like, I'll go out and check. So Mark goes outside. And is, oh, nice move there by Sean, jumping over the announce table. See, I'm telling you, this match was hardcore, you know, before hardcore was a thing in the WWF. And I hate to be talking over the action, but My stories were pretty good. Oh, I always hated that spot. And that was a Mick Foley spot right there where he gets suplexed against the steps and he would hit his leg on it. God, I hated that. That was so hard to watch. I'm sure that doesn't help him nowadays when he walks around. That was a Mick Foley patented bump right there. Looked like he took it on the knee, but he took it on the back of the... He took it on the calf, which that couldn't have felt good either. Anyway... So my buddy Mark, who worked with me, went outside, and he's standing outside while Paul's at the nice clip from behind there. Paul's at the drive-thru window, and I'm sure Paul didn't really want to be bothered. And I'm like, Mark, come on, man. Like, I leave him alone, dude. Like, he just wants to eat and go to his hotel. And Paul was really nice, really, really nice. I think he had rented, like, a Cadillac or something. It was a pretty big car. But no, he was quiet, but he was nice, you know. I thanked him for all the years of entertaining us and all that. And I got Mark who's standing out there just watching him in his car, like, all right, he's not going to hurt you. He just wanted to say hi. And then I met Paul again many, many years later when WrestleMania 27 came to Atlanta. They had a Undertaker graveyard set up, and they had a replica of the funeral parlor set up in the back of it. Funeral parlor was the talk show segment that Paul Bearer had, similar to the Snake Pit and Piper's Pit and Brother Love and all that. So, and Paul was there, and I didn't even know he was going to be there. He was there taking pictures with everybody, and I got a chance to meet him. And they had an issue with the camera that they were using, so we were waiting for them to fix that. And while I was just standing there with Paul, Paul's like, well, this is awkward. Like, I was like, yeah, man. You know, I told him the story of how I met him years earlier. And of course, he wouldn't remember that. But he did say, oh, I love that place. You know, he loves Kentucky Fried Chicken. Paul was a big guy, just like me. And, but I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, Paul, man, I thanked you before, but I really just want to thank you again for all the years of entertaining me. You know, I watched you since World Class, you know, back in Texas, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s. And, you know, he appreciated that. And, he's like, is that your wife over there with her phone? I was like, yeah. He's like, tell her to snap some pictures while we're writing. No, I'm not going to tell anybody. So, you know, he let my wife capture some of that as I was talking to him. And it was cool. It was a really cool spot and a really cool moment. I talked to Paul a little bit after that on Twitter. We had some interactions later on up until the time that he passed. So he was always a nice guy. So Sean's been working on Mankind's leg here since he suplexed him onto the ring steps. And, you know, Michaels is a great mat technician and knew a lot of submission holds, and I really don't think Sean got enough credit for being such a well-rounded performer. You know, you think of him as being a high flyer and doing a lot of high spots and all that, but Sean could mat wrestle. He could be tough. He could fly. He could mat wrestle. He could make you submit. He could do it all. That's why, in my opinion, he is the greatest all-around in-ring performer in wrestling history. Nobody was better in big-time matches. I mean, yeah, look, Ric Flair was great. Bret Hart was great. But I don't think Ric Flair and Bret Hart could adapt to anybody's style as well as Shawn Michaels could. And that's really what it comes down to in the end of why I think Shawn Michaels is the greatest performer of all time, because he could literally wrestle anybody's style. He could be hard-hitting. He could be a submission guy. He could be an aerialist. He was not afraid of anybody. Whether it's Mankind, Vader, Undertaker, Steve Austin, Bret Hart, Razor Ramon, Diesel, all the people he wrestled over the years. Oh, I love Mick slapping his knee, like trying to get the feeling back in it. Grabs what looks like to be a marker or a stick or something. Just jabbing himself in the leg to try to get feeling back into it. God, just a little nuances from Mick. We're amazing. And, you know, Mick is a very underrated wrestler as well. And very underrated character wrestler, especially. I mean, I know he's in the WWE Hall of Fame and all that, but, like, still, I think a lot of people sleep on Mick Foley and think that he's just a hardcore wrestler, which, I mean, for the most part, he was. But the little things that he did with his character, like the stabbing himself in the leg or the rocking here back and forth, like, God, man, this is a new character for Mick, but he was able to just sink into it and play it so well. And then to turn it into a babyface later on, look at that, still slapping the knee, trying to get to work, still selling it. When he turned into babyface Mankind and had the Have a Nice Day and did the shirt and tie and Socko and all that, like, that's just another incarnation of Mankind. It was just genius. Mick was a great puncher as well. He really was. We got about 20 minutes left in this match, and they're going at it. Oh, I love, God, that running knee. I don't know how he kayfabed that, or if he did. Maybe hit him with the side of his thigh. I don't know, but that's such a brutal move. What's funny about that move is Mick took that move himself so hard. On a couple occasions, he broke his own sternum running into the turnbuckle, especially later in his career when he wasn't in his great shape and didn't take care of himself. He definitely broke his sternum on that move, running and hitting the turnbuckle with full force. That's another thing about a similar type move to that. When Bret Hart used to get whipped into the turnbuckle, he would take it chest first. How he didn't break his sternum, or maybe he did. I don't know. I haven't read his book or heard anything about it, but you want to talk about like a sick bump that he perfected. Bret Hart was so good at that. Mankind back in control of the match here, taking it to Shawn Michaels, trying to wear him down. Just ground and pound and wear him out. Oh, nice reversal into a back suplex. I was going to say he bought himself some time. JR was so good. I was thinking the same exact thing. Oh, big right hand. God, Shawn really was a great striker. Such a great working punch that I don't think anybody ever gives him credit for. You know, when you think of working punches, you think of Big Boss Man. You think of Scott Hall. To me, Scott Hall probably had the best working punch in the business. Jerry Lawler, Bobby Eaton. Undertaker is a fantastic striker. That was a cool move. Ode to Ric Flair right there in the corner. Oh, that was such a great counter by Mick. That's such a good move. A running flying headbutt while he's tied up in the tree of woe. Shawn took a corner bump similar. Oh, he did it again. Similar to Ric Flair, who we know is Ric Flair was Shawn Michaels' idol growing up as a kid, which is so surreal that Shawn, and he'll probably tell you this himself, you know, idolizing Ric Flair before he got into wrestling and then being able to wrestle Ric Flair in what was supposed to be Ric Flair's final match at WrestleMania and retiring him from the WWE just had to be pretty surreal for Shawn to go full circle there. Oh, nice leg drop to the back of the head. Mick had some ups, man. I'm telling you, he's a very good athlete. Mick could fly, especially off the apron or off the second turnbuckle. Nice boot to the side of the head. Watch out, Paul. Shawn avoided that casket, but, you know, when he actually did have a casket match at the Royal Rumble against The Undertaker in 1998, he didn't avoid the casket, and that ended up really messing up his back and just completely aggravating. Oh, God, that's a sick bump. Aggravating whatever damage Shawn had done to his back over the years, and Shawn hasn't had good luck with caskets. Essentially put him out for 4 or 5 years. Two sick bumps there for Mick Foley on the steps. One, another patented Mick Foley bump, which a lot of other people copied. Taker as well. Running at Shawn, and Shawn moving and just hitting his knees and flipping over the stairs. And then the second bump there was a drop toe hold under the stairs. People say Mick loved pain, which I don't think anybody loves pain. But for whatever reason, he was able to take a significant amount more than anybody else. Who's going to get the vertical suplex off? Man, it's hard to get Mick's big butt up there. Oh, see, I thought that was it. Nice move. Oh, right in the ring post. God, that was such a unique sequence that you've probably never seen before and haven't seen again, but that just shows you how great these guys were at putting this match together. That was a really cool segment. You really thought Shawn was going to get suplexed over the top, and he was able to duck back in the ring, and Mick hit the ring post. Back elbow, which usually is set up for the flying top rope elbow. Nice power slam by Shawn. not the spinning back elbow. I'm sorry. The forearm and the kip up would set up for the body slam and the elbow. I forgot, you know, Sean's five moves of doom. The spinning back elbow is actually something Marty Jannetty used to do. I got confused for a second. Now, that is a spot Mick obviously did in Germany and is what resulted in partially tearing his ear off. Stuck in the ropes and still gets the mandible claw on. That was so cool. But the ropes were so tight in Germany as opposed to other ropes. And I want to say they may have been even steel cables encased in some kind of rubber or plastic like the WCW ropes, but they were very, very tight, tighter than he was used to. And it ripped his ear off. But that's a very dangerous spot, but Mick knew how to take it. Mandible claw on the outside. Not that will do any good there, but oh, Sean counters into, oh, look. Ricardo took the bump there. I believe his name was Ricardo. I don't remember his name. I'm sorry. I'm probably completely off there. Oh, God. That was rough. To my knowledge, I don't know if this was a no disqualification match or not. But Hebner didn't see the chair shots. Now I gotta look up this 90s Spanish announce team. Carlos Cabrera was the play-by-play guy, the one sitting to Hugo Savinovich. How can I forget Hugo's name? Hugo was there for many, many, many years. But Carlos Cabrera has been the Jim Ross of Mexican play-by-play announcers for the WWF, for WWE, for many, many years to this day. He is still the lead announcer. But yeah, Hugo Savinovich was the one that took the bump there. Ricardo, what the hell's wrong with me? Man, this is such a brutal match. Oh, man. Pretty sick bump there. Not a lot to say here. I'm just taking in all the action. That was a pretty sick neck breaker. There's a sick table bump in this match that I'll never forget. Like, it is what it's really what I remember from this match because it was so unique. But you'll know it when you see it. Double arm DDT. That was one of Mick's finishing moves there as Cactus Jack. But Shawn kicks out. The resiliency of Shawn Michaels. Going for the stump pile driver and hits it. That was a unique way to do a pile driver. I thought that was... Grabbed the tights and just kind of drove him into the mat. Shawn kicks out again. Yeah, you don't see a lot of pile drivers anymore. In fact, I can't remember the last time I did see one. But we see a million Canadian destroyers. Mick is frustrated. What does he have to do to put Shawn Michaels away? He took his own Ric Flair bump there. Oh, Hugo. You lost your sheet, brother. I'm so sorry. Apparently, we need more than one chair. One was not enough. Those are not your standard steel chairs. The black steel chairs that you see that they use nowadays and about a year later here. Earl Hebner says, nope, you can't do that. So obviously not a no disqualification match. Maybe it is a casket match. I don't think it is, though. I think it's just... That's one thing I don't remember. No, it's not, dumbass. I'm so stupid. There is a flying forearm and a kip up, which sets up for the inverted atomic drop, the body slam, the elbow, and the chin music. Not a casket match, obviously. That's just more mind games since Hebner was counting. I'm stupid. I'm so stupid sometimes. He didn't do the atomic drop. What the hell? Flying cross body. Mick wasn't selling it. It's because he forgot to do the atomic drop first. This is going to be sick. Oh, that was a sick table bump, but not the one that I had mentioned earlier. Although that was pretty tough. That is something we hadn't seen before. And those weren't your standard tables either. Those weren't the prefab tables you'd get. Not to mention all the stuff that they had on the table, like all their monitors and all that. Yeah, now those tables were a little bit longer than what they used later on and to this day. But yes, ref can't see what's going on. Oh, nice Sabu-like move there from Shawn Michaels. But yeah, not a no disqualification match. Hurl and Hebner did not see any of that. It's amazing what they're allowed to get away with during this match that Earl did not see. It was a hardcore match without hardcore rules. Oh, there's Vader. Now there's disqualification. Vader was in pretty bad shape at this point. Oh, Paul, you sneaky little bastard. There's Sid Justice. Boom. Get out of here, Vader. Here comes the referee core. Michaels does retain the title by disqualification. There's the mandible claw. Such a hard-hitting match. Paul having trouble getting the casket open. Oh, it's the Undertaker. How the hell did he get in there? I was mistaken. I thought there was a sick bump where Mick Foley kind of went through the table head first and was kind of stuck in the middle of the table. Maybe that wasn't in this match. Maybe I misremembered things. That's what happens when you get old, guys, for sure. I miss Howard Finkel. There will be none better to ever come along. He was the best. Sean defends his title by disqualification, but man, what a really hard-hitting match. That was such an entertaining match. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Man, Sean really took it to him. The old In Your House set that we kind of saw at reimagined at NXT this year. Sean doesn't look nervous now. He looks very happy and very relieved that that match is over. But looks no worse for wear. Sean was a great champion. He really was. Did the typical Hogan must pose stuff there. All four sides of the ring so everyone can get their photo ops. I miss stuff like that. I don't even think they do that anymore. Showing a tattoo on his ass. Oh, Sean. There's kids there, man. You're a baby face. Why are you showing a tattoo on your ass cheek? Oops, they got a big sweaty kiss there. A little awkward behind her. Perfect selling it like a heel. He's like, come on, Kurt. I think Kurt said you're the man, but that's funny. Kurt was no selling him. That's good stuff. But Sean and Vince, you could see the relationship between Sean and Vince there, shaking hands and kind of an awkward thing between him and JR. Didn't know if you want to high five or shake his hand, but shook Vince's hand. I mean, that was a sick bump. I swear there was another table bump that Mick Foley did where he went through the table, but I guess it wasn't this match. Nice springboard savate kick there. It was a tough match. But Taker being in the casket was a pretty cool touch. Probably underneath the ring and then came up through a trap door. But oh, that chick really loves Shawn Michaels. She went for a mouth kiss. He's like, nope. Vince loves Shawn Michaels. I mean, you could tell. Giving him, you know, 5 minutes to parade around the ring like Hulk Hogan. That was a great event. It really was. I enjoyed that. And I hope you guys did too.
RTW Rewind.
Well, there you go. That is our watch along of Shawn Michaels versus Mick Foley in your house mind games from 1996. Again, Shawn knew, you know, he had to take it to Mick Foley. And like I said, from the onset, Mick wasn't afraid to wrestle Shawn Michaels' fast-paced style either. Just one of my favorite matches of all time. Unfortunately, there was, you know, kind of a fucked finish, but that's to be expected when Mankind was such a good heel and was new to the company. They really were still building him up. And Shawn, obviously being the champion, wasn't going to lose his belt when he had just won it from Bret Hart a couple months earlier at WrestleMania in Anaheim. But it kept both these guys strong. You know, with Vader's interference and Taker's interference, there was no clean victory. But both competitors were kept very, very strong. All right, guys, that wraps it up here for this episode. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at RadRobGaming. Check me out on Twitch. I'm a Twitch gaming streamer. Twitch.tv/RadRobGaming, streaming every Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Central, every Sunday afternoon at 2 in the afternoon. And check out my YouTube gaming page. It's RadRobGaming. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, it is at RadTurtlesPOD. You can send us an email, RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. Leave us a like on Facebook, Facebook.com/RadTurtlesWrestling. And check out the Twitter page for the R&R Podcast Network. It is at RR Pod Network. Coming up this Thursday will be a new show that we are co-branding with the Brothers Grappler, Ocho 6 and 7, will be an AEW review show. I don't even know how this is going to go. As you know, all you fans of the Grapplers, they're not fans of wrestling. So the fact is, we're able even to come to an agreement with this show. It's not going to be like the Wednesday Night War show that I used to do. It's going to be just an AEW review show, which we did one of those during Grappler Appreciation Week on the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast earlier this year. And somehow I was able to talk them into co-branding a show. So it will be on their Brothers Grappler feed and also be here on Thursdays on our feed here, co-branding between RTW and the Brothers Grappler. I'm not sure who's going to be on it with me. I think they're going to be rotating every week. So it's possible I'll be doing a show with 6 and then a week after be 7 and the week after be 8. I don't know. I'm still kind of in the dark. We're still putting things together. But if all goes well, it will be debuting this week. So check back here for Thursday. I'm not sure if I'm going to keep RTW Rewind on Thursday, if I might just move that back to just Tuesdays. I'm still working through that scheduling. I don't want to put too many shows out for you guys because then you'll never get caught up. So I may just keep RTW Rewind to Tuesday only, but we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, Thursday will be our AEW review show. Don't even have a name yet, I don't think. So it's the way they're very hard to get a hold of. I mean, and they're very mysterious. So it's hard to get details out of these guys. But they told me they want to do an AEW review show with me. So I don't know. Maybe they're coming around to being wrestling fans. I know 7 is a mark for sure. But I'm not sure how this is going to go. But we're doing it. So check back here Thursday, 8 o'clock Thursday morning for the AEW review show with me and one of the grapplers or all the grapplers. I don't know. We'll see. But until then, guys, I appreciate you listening. Thank you for all your support, and we'll see you on Thursday. Take care, guys.
Thanks again for listening to this episode. You can follow RTW on Twitter at Rad Turtles Pod, and you can email the show at RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. We appreciate all of your support. You've been listening to RTW Rewind, exclusively here on the R&R Podcast Network.